Well, glory to God. Well, let's come around the Word. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. I want to pray Psalm 100. We've heard Psalm 99, so let's go with Psalm 100. Are you ready? Let's close our eyes and look away to the Lord. Lord, we want to make a joyful noise unto you all the days of our lives. Our hearts want to serve you, Lord Jesus, with gladness and come before your presence with singing. We proclaim that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God. For it is you alone, Lord, who has made us. We never made ourselves, therefore we declare, we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. Surely the Lord says to us, come into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. Be thankful unto me and bless my holy name. Lord, you are good and just, and your mercy is everlasting, and your truth endures for all generations. Lord God, help us all to digest the words that you have helped me to prepare in this morning's message, and allow them to fill our hearts to overflowing with thanksgiving and praise. And this we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Well, good morning, saints. My message this morning is entitled, Walk Humbly Before God as Kings and Priests. Part 1. Only going to be a two-part series, but here we go. Not only does the Bible pigeonhole we Christians as peculiar people. Exodus 19 verse 5 says, If ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of all the earth, because all the earth is mine. What a great scripture from an Old Testament book. And again, we read in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes at 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a great scripture. Why is the question? Why? So that we might be a peculiar people, zealous of doing good works, says the Apostle Paul in Titus 2, verse 14. But not only a peculiar people, but did you hear me say just now, a chosen generation, and holy nation, and a royal priesthood? You're a royal priesthood. Friends, did you know that we are all kings and priests unto God? All of us, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all kings and priests unto God when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that fantastic news? I hope you're thinking it's fantastic news. Galatians 2 verse 20 reads, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still alive. Yet it's not me anymore, but Christ who's living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What precious and encouraging words. Precious and encouraging. Did I hear you say kings and priests, Pastor? Yes, you did. Notice how the Apostle Paul implies that we as born-again Christians, born-again believers, with Christ living in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not alone anymore. If you're feeling lonely, that's a lie. Whether you're out in the middle of the desert by yourself, you are not alone if you're a believer. Our God-given faith was sufficient to get us saved, but now we can rely on the faith of the Son of God that dwells in us as well to help us navigate this earthly life of ours the way God wants us to. Remember the story in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9 verse 17 through 25. Yes, 17 through 25. And it's of the father whose son had a mute spirit, and that would seize him, it would throw him down, it would cause him to foam at the mouth, he would gnash his teeth, He'd become rigid, the scriptures say. Sounds a bit like epilepsy, doesn't it? Anyway, Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been going on? And the Father replies, from childhood. Often it throws him into the fire and into the water in an attempt to kill him. But if, Lord, you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. In other words, if you can bring yourself to exercise the faith that I've already given to you, example, Hebrews 12:2 says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, then, continued Jesus, all things are possible. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, the father is saying, I'll use that faith that you gave to me and I'll take one step towards you. But once I've done that, I need your help, Lord. I need your creative faith to kick in. That's what he was saying. Jesus then rebuked the unclean spirit and it came out of the boy. I hope you picked up what I just shared then. I remember someone saying to me in this church many years ago, I haven't any more faith and so I'm leaving. Something had happened in his, and never came back. Had nothing to do with what we said, but something had happened in his business life, and he says, that because of that, I've lost all faith. What he missed out on is the fact that he only needed to take one step, and Jesus would have carried him the rest of the way, you see. How was Jesus able to do this? Cast that demon out. He was not only full of the Word of God, but he was the Word of God. That's how he could do it. And consequently, when we're full of the Word of God, and the Word of God himself is living in us by his Holy Spirit, then God says, we too shall have his authority to cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, whatever. Remember, it's not us casting out demons, or healing the sick, or raising the dead. It's Christ in us. That's the hope of all mankind, doing all the heavy lifting. Once we're kings and priests and have been obedient and faithful to the word, then the outcome is entirely in God's hands. Pastor, did I hear you say just then that we can live a life as kings and priests under God? Yes, I did. Yes, I did say that. We're all kings and priests in this life as we walk faithfully before God Almighty. Now let me build a case by listening to what the Apostle Paul has to say about Jesus Christ in Hebrews 1 verses 1 to 3. For he tells us Jesus was not only a king and a priest, but a prophet of God as well. Well, he was actually more than a prophet when telling us about God, for you see, Jesus was the Son of God just telling us about his Father. Yes, eh? Listen to what Paul had to say in Hebrews 1, 1 and 3. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And when, and now you can understand why Jesus could cast out demons. And when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. That's what Paul writes. Now when Paul says Christ cleansed us from our sins and sat down at the right hand of God, this highlights the priestly work of Christ on earth. The letter to the Hebrews goes on to unpack the significance and superiority of Christ's priesthood over the old Levitical priesthood of Moses' day. And Paul writes of Christ's priesthood in Hebrews 5:5-9. And there is an amazing and humbling lesson in this passage for us. So are you ready for it? Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. In other words, he didn't chase the office. But it was he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. He was the one who established Jesus as a high priest. You see? For God says in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who's never heard of the word Melchizedek before? Just as a show of hands. Never? Never? You would have read it, you two at the back, because I know you've read the Bible. For God says in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who, speaking now of Jesus in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that is God the Father, the one who was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he, Jesus, feared. Jesus was heard because he feared what he was about to go through. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him, which of course is us. That's what Jesus had to go through. No wonder Jesus said to those two guys who wanted to sit on his right and his left, he says, can you be baptized with the baptism I've got to go through? No. Paul then says, God promised everything to his son as an inheritance. Question. I suspect that there would be no one here today who would argue against God being king of the universe. Anyone want to argue with that particular point? No, I think we're all on that page. Yet, here we see God giving everything to his son as an inheritance. Everything. Surely that should illuminate to us that Jesus was to be the new king, having inherited everything from God the Father. Even in Psalm 110 verse 1, it was foretold of the Messiah sitting down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's what Psalm 110 verse 1 says. It's a picture of Jesus sitting down on the right hand of the Father. The Hebrew use of the term right hand in this example implies the Messiah has God's authority. That's the whole concept of the right hand. That's why we shake with the right hand. He who is at the right hand of the Father has the authority. Jesus has God's power of eternity, we could say, using an earthly expression. Matthew 16:19, Jesus says to his disciples, And I will give unto thee, Jesus speaking to who? His disciples. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou wilt bind on earth, thou shalt bound. Let me just say that again. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What an amazing gift to give. Here we find Jesus commissioning us to do his work on earth. But hey, there is a proviso. And let me go to Proverbs 18:21 to try and unpack that proviso. Proverbs 18:21 says, Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love either death or life shall eat the fruit thereof. If you speak death, you'll get death. If you speak life, you'll get life. If you're always grumbling in your boots, that's what you're going to get. Things associated with death. If you are always joyful and optimistic, I suppose you could say, in Christ, then you'll get life. Therefore, I would say that as kings and priests, we need to be wise when binding ourselves or others to or loosening ourselves or others from either situations or beliefs concerning the living God. I hope you pick that up. Although kings and priests, we are not worthy to have been granted such authority. No wonder the book of Revelation sees us casting down our crowns before the throne of God, saying, "Thou alone art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created and were created." Yes, friends, we have been called to be humble kings and priests unto God our Saviour. As the Eternal Son, Jesus is sovereign and therefore king over all creation. Even the prophet Daniel wrote in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is 600 years before Christ was even born. Get a load of what he says. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like unto the Son of Man." Jesus called himself the Son of Man. "And he came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days," a reference to God the Father. "And they," the angels, "brought him," Jesus, "near before the Ancient of Days. And there was given him," that is the Son of Man, "dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is such that it shall never be destroyed." Hallelujah! Daniel saw that 600 years before Christ was born. Pastor, are you telling us that we're actually kings and priests? Friends, it's not me that's telling you. It's the scriptures that tell us. And God challenges us to grow into that maturity. Paul says to move away from the foundation stone of salvation. Move on from it. Move on from it. Grow away from it. Hebrews 6 verse 1 we're talking about now. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, and not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God," etc., etc. In other words, let's not continually get bogged down in doctrines about our salvation. Paul says, "You're saved. Now get on with it." Friends, Jesus is the very Son of God. His revelation of God revealed to us, particularly through the eyes of the Apostle Paul, is far superior than a mere prophet. For in these last days, we didn't get a messenger, we got the Son. Hallelujah! Jesus is not only the final messenger, sorry to have to inform you of that, Mr. and Mrs. Muslim, but he is also the final sacrifice as well. He is not only our high priest, but he's the temple as well. And he's not just Israel's greatest king. He's the king of all creation. But even more importantly, we need to see him as our personal king, to which I said before, we throw down our crowns at his feet. Now, why have I shared all that? Because I want us to understand the relationship between this King Jesus and you and I. That is, his body. The very ones he laid down his life for. Now wait for it, that he might share his inheritance with us. God has given his inheritance to Jesus, and now Jesus is wanting to share that inheritance with us. Now let's pause for a minute. Would you like to make a confession of faith? I hope you do, because I'm going to ask you to make one. Are you ready? Say this after me. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. That was very good. Let's say it again. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. Come on, don't jump ahead of me. Right, once more for clarity. After me, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Friends, we are by faith the body of Christ. By faith, we are one with Christ. And therefore, finally, after 4,000 years of separation, we can be at last one with God again. There's no religion in that. And this has all been made possible by Jesus Christ, our High Priest, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay, Pastor, but I'm not too sure I've got it yet. Tell me again, why can I confess that I am a king and a priest of the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank you for asking. In Revelation 5, verses 9 to 10, the Apostle John describes a future picture of the church standing in heaven before the throne of God and the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. Remember what John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes and takes away the sins of the world." And this picture shows the church singing a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." Notice the church is in heaven before even the first seal can be opened. And the church continues to sing, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Question: where are we going to reign as kings and priests? Back on earth. By faith, we are already kings and priests. By faith, we are saved. It's not too big a quantum leap. Further evidence that points us to being kings and priests can be found in 1 Peter 2, verses 5. 1 Peter 2, verses 5, where Peter writes, "Ye are lively stones." That's interesting. Lively stones. "Built up into a spiritual house and holy priesthood, that we might offer up spiritual sacrifices, that is, our praises to God, praises acceptable to God by, because of, and through Jesus Christ." Okay, from what Peter wrote, it's obvious we are an holy priesthood. That was plain. And as priests, we have the right to speak directly with God, our Heavenly Father. Now, there's some of us here may not understand this. We now have the right to speak directly to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We no longer need an earthly human priest to help us communicate with God. Can I say that again? We no longer need a human priest to help us communicate with God. God has abolished these ancient priesthood practices. They are dead to Him. In the Old Testament, only the priests could communicate directly with God. But in the New Testament, God has torn asunder that old veil of separation and has given we Christians the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, whereby we can not only communicate directly with God, but He jumps in and intercedes for us whenever necessary. And I can tell you it's often necessary. Romans 8:26 reads, "Likewise the Spirit also helps us with our infirmities, with our troubles, with our burdens, with our botherings. For when we know not what we should pray for as we ought," and there'll be plenty of us here that don't know that, "the Spirit itself makes intercession for us, and He does so with groanings which otherwise can't be expressed in words." This is the inner man at work here, longing for answers from God. "Lord, help my unbelief." You see, friends, God has been in the "I will not abandon you" business for a very long time. As early as the days of Moses, God spoke through him to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of your enemies. For the Lord thy God, it is He that goes with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. The Apostle Paul picks up God's promise to Israel, as well as Christ's promise to His disciples, in John 14, verse 16, that He would pray to the Father, and He would send them a comforter, just prior to His ascension into heaven. And Paul does this in Hebrews 13, verse 5, by encouraging the church to, what? Keep our lives free from the love of money, and be content with whatever we have, for God has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Nothing's ever changed. Pastor, are you sure God is saying that we are now His kings and priests on earth? Let me assure you by mentioning the words of the Apostle Paul that he wrote in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11. This is what Paul wrote. Because mankind, that is, without God, cannot understand the things of God, the Holy Spirit who now dwells inside we Christians, He helps us to understand the things of God. Friends, you don't have to believe me that we're all kings and priests before God. For as Paul says, the Spirit of God that dwells in us, He will help us understand the things of God. The things that He wants us to understand, including the reality that we are His kings and priests on earth. And as we feed on the Word, which is our daily bread, don't we pray that? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. As we feed on that Word, the daily bread, we will grow in Christ. And as we grow, we can share the revelation of our faith with others more confidently. Does the world incline its ear to paupers or to kings and priests? Inclines its ears to kings and priests. Those with the authority. That's who they listen to. Okay. So let's go a little further so that we might bridge this gap of misunderstanding, a gap that the devil wants us to believe still exists. That the devil might keep us bound in darkness. And let's attempt to put some biblical truths on this bone about how God wants us to see ourselves as kings as well as priests. Remember Galatians 2 verse 20? It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Okay. When God looks at us, He sees His Son, King Jesus. That's a done deal. When we look at ourselves, that's how we need to see ourselves as well. Just as God sees us. Let's all make a confession of faith. Say it after me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Therefore, I'm an heir to the throne, a king's kid, and therefore a king. Hallelujah. Friends, because we know that Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, according to Revelation 19:16, therefore, when we read the words of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 3, verse 6, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are, referring to the church, the body of Christ, the faithful in Christ, we can now understand that God sees us as the house of Christ. It's each and every one of us. We are the house of Christ. We don't live in the house. We are the house. And because we are the house in which the King, Jesus Christ, dwells by His Spirit, and because Romans 8:17 declares that when we are children of the Lord, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, then by faith we can both claim and proclaim the Lord's promise given to the church that Christ has made us heirs and has granted us the right to sit with Him on His throne, which just happens to be the same throne of His heavenly fathers, God Himself. And that's all according to Revelation 3 verse 21. If you don't find this exciting, I'm sorry. Maybe you're not going to get that opportunity. Friends, if that explanation from the Scriptures doesn't convince you that we are kings and priests in God's eyes, then I can't help you anymore. In the future, when we stand before the Lamb in heaven and sing that new song, declaring that we too will reign on the earth as kings and priests, doesn't that suggest that we are kings and priests by faith already? For you see, only kings reign, don't they? And so, I want to encourage each and every one of us here today that if you haven't already begun to see yourself as a king and a priest in Christ Jesus, then it's time to start doing so. Adopting this truth will help to open up our understanding of the Scriptures. You need to go home and say, I'm a king and I'm a priest in Christ. Knowing who we are in Christ will also help us in our personal prayer life. It will give us confidence to know our spiritual authority when resisting the work of the enemy, that is, the angels of darkness. Resisting the angels of darkness when they come out against us, or against our families, or our friends, or our town, or our nation. God forgive us, He's coming at us as a nation, I tell you. Knowing that we are kings and priests of Christ the King and High Priest of heaven and earth. This will also give us confidence when sharing our faith with others and in praying for others, laying hands on them and praying. Particularly for those who want prayer, rather than saying, look, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray about that for you. Pray with them straight there. Lord Jesus, you happy for me to pray for you? Lord Jesus, we pray whatever that need is. I'm going to pause there and defer the balance of this message regarding our status as kings and priests until next week. However, our focus next week will be a timely warning to all we kings and priests to keep our faith walk suitably balanced and humble. Until then, we might all say, Amen.